Okay, so finally, now that I've got my podcast up, oh my goodness, it's the start of a new day. Today is July 13th. I'm Tanisha, and I still haven't found out a full name for this podcast, but definitely in the works for one. I just feel like I have so much on my heart that I sound like a whole Bible Christian right now. On my heart, no. But I feel like I have so much going on that sometimes I don't have people to talk to on the phone. I'm like, why not become your own best friend? So that's the whole point of this podcast, because I commute to work every day. My commute is usually 2 hours going to Huntsville and 2 hours coming back from Huntsville if traffic's okay. If traffic's horrible, then usually it's not 2 hours. Maybe 2.5 to 3, but neither here or there. To be honest, though, I had a customer put something in perspective for me I wasn't really expecting. She says, oh my goodness, you spend half your work day in your car. And I'm just like, well, damn, you didn't have to just ruin dreams for me. Here I am thinking, oh, it's just 2 hours here, 2 hours there. I never put two and two together that, oh, shit, I do spend 4 hours of my 8-hour shift that I do at work in my car. Anyway, my podcast is not going to be boring. It's not for nobody if you don't like the F word, it's going to be thrown around a lot. I haven't thrown it around, so prepare yourself. This is where you choose to leave. Please exit stage left, because it's about to fucking go down. Okay, so first thing, today's topic I'm going to choose for myself right now. Obviously, it's going to be guys, because guys are just a complex, they're just some complex creatures. I don't understand them. I feel like no one gave them the memo to be good at relationships. At least this generation's guys, they don't have that, like, relationship goals or anything like that. They're pretty much set on, like, is my dick wet? Yes or no? If no is the answer, then fuck you. So I'm just kind of taking it slow in my own right, which includes having a rotation. Okay, so what is a rotation? A rotation is a group of guys that I dedicate myself to, like as if I was in a polygamous relationship, that I have sexual things with every now and again. It's not something that, like, every day, one guy gets me on Monday, the next guy gets me on Tuesday. Like, my pussy would be completely kaputted. Like, live what this? It would just be fucking sad shit. But that's not goals here. So whenever I'm in a mood, I just pick a flavor. Because I feel like guys do the same thing to us. As women, they choose who they want to have sex with and who they want to be around whenever they see fit. So I'm tired of feeling like I'm doing everything that I need to do as a woman to gain a guy's attention, only for them to disregard everything that I'm doing and then choose someone else that they want to have or hang out with, not necessarily all about sex, have sex with or hang out with. And for me, I feel like if they can do it without right and judgment, I can do it without right and judgment, as long as we all are protected and we stay safe and we are all, like, in agreement, which I don't know if they're in agreement. I've never told them about the other one. It'll be funny when they find out. Who gives a fuck? Like, same reaction guys have. Like, if the girls find out about each other, who gives a fuck? They're going to go find a new rotation. Whatever. So, the first guy I'm going to start off with is the first guy I've ever had feelings for. Okay. This is going to be a hard one because I've never dove back into this topic for a while. Actually, really, since my first year of college, I haven't really thought about this guy too much. But he really played a big part in how I see guys, and he doesn't know it. And if this ever gets out, he'll know it. But who cares, like I said. Anyway. Fuck it. His name's Clifford. Goddamn. I'm going to change his name for the sake of embarrassment, but, I mean, who the fuck cares? And for me, liking somebody that had that name, I didn't understand it. I still don't understand. understand it. When I look back in hindsight, I'm just like, did you like somebody named Clifford? What the fuck? Like, who the fuck was, what was you on? And I was like, shit. So I don't know what I was on, but I was definitely on that nigga. So anyway, nigga was not really attractive. I don't know what the fuck. I was just sprung over this guy's personality. Me and him had meshed so well. So the reason we met, I had just transferred schools from high school. I was going to High Tower High School, and then I felt like that schooling was really stupid. So I went to a school called Challenge Early College, and let me just say that was one of the best decisions I made in my young life because it allowed me to get my associate's degree and my high school diploma at the same time. When I first got there, I met a group of friends. Apparently, I had a very snooty face. Snooty meaning like bougie, meaning like uppity, meaning like don't fuck with me, bitch. Which I like to think that I'm a really approachable person, so I didn't see how I gave people that impression. But anyway, I had made a group of friends, girls and guys. And I was also on the quote-unquote cheerleading team. We'll talk about that later. We'll leave that for another segment. And I don't know why. This guy's energy just immediately drew me in, and I was just so, like, I want to be his friend. Like, we were definitely friend goals. That's definitely friend goals for future, for everything, because me and him had such a, like, natural friendship. We had, like, an organic wanting to be around each other, not for the sake of anyone else or anything like that. It was just like, hey, what you doing? I don't care if you're in the bathroom, nigga. What the fuck are you doing? And it was kind of cute. It was, I don't know. I could say it was a crush, but it wasn't a crush. It was still healthy at this point. But anyway, we had talked for about a year and a half. Well, the reason, I guess, I felt so strongly about this guy is because before this guy, I hadn't really had too much relationship experience. I thought of guys as annoying little beings. Like, you know, that six or seven-year-old idea that, ew, guys are nasty. I still kind of had that going into high school. And so, not necessarily that they're gross, but that they're just a waste of time. They're a distraction. Don't do that. So this is the first guy that I just kind of let distract me from. And it wasn't necessarily a bad distraction, but let take me away from other hobbies I would have done in my time if I did not know him. Right? So, we're getting to know each other. I figure out he likes rap music that, at the time, I was crazy. So, I was into rap music, but I wasn't into, like, the good shit. Let's just be honest. I liked a little bit of Kid Cudi, a little bit of Wale, like, a little bit of backpack rap. But I was mostly a pop fan. Like, you could not miss me with any pop song. I don't care from. And I say pop, I mean mainstream music, not necessarily like Baby Rexha or crazy super pop artists. Just anything that came on the radio, I was definitely here for. But then I didn't know that there were things that didn't come on the radio that were just as good. I thought if it didn't make the radio, it really was shit. He turned me on to that. Like, you know, different artists. Let's see. Who did I learn from him? Oh my goodness. I cannot. Oh, goodness. Okay, first of all, it was Tyler, the Creator. I was not a Tyler fan. You can check my records. I was not. I was just there because he was there, and he was happy, which made me happy. And then eventually, I realized, oh, crap, I do like this music. Who else? Mick Jenkins. I did not like Mick Jenkins. Never heard of him. Never cared. Oh, my gosh. This one guy I cannot think of, and I know this is a really big artist in Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. What is his name? Whatever. I will have to, like, tag it in the bottom or something whenever I remember because I have the memory of a squirrel. But anything this guy likes, I like, long story short. So maybe a year into us knowing each other, he decided to ask me out, which I told him no because I didn't want anything to change. Like, I was like, you're my bestest friend, and I like you enough to tell you that I would prefer to not go that route with you because I don't want us to be affected as a friendship. Well, anyway, he asked me out again, and I said yes because at this point I'm like, Tamesia, this person likes you. You clearly like their company. What other reason are you saying no? Like, you're not a shallow person to be completely stuck on looks because – men manly. Like, I want you to look like a man. I don't want you to be prettier than me. I want you to look like you work for a living or something of that sort. Not necessarily do your nails and facials for a living. Anyway, I had got completely sidetracked. So, told him yes. We went out, girl, for a whole, like, 2 weeks. Like, this was the pettiest relationship I've ever been in. But some kind of way, this relationship, in the midst of me already having my own problems, which I will also divulge in another segment about how I was depressed, and this is probably the reason why I didn't work out, was because I was not always in the best of moods when I said yes the second time. So I can't expect him to want to be around somebody who didn't want to be around himself. But anyway, this relationship lasted for all of like 2 weeks, in my opinion. And in that 2 or 3 weeks, we had so much, like, random, I don't want to say it was fun. I feel like the relationship did exactly what I expected it to do. Like, it complicated things. I was expecting certain behaviors because of what I've seen on media from what a boyfriend's supposed to do, which, I mean, that's true, but everybody is its own person, so you can't expect, you know, one person to show affection the same way another person does. And when that went kaput, and on top of me being in a very, very bad mental state as far as, like, self-love and things like that, I was just kind of stuck on him. And I felt like he was part of the reason why I was upset and this, that, and the third. And so I was stuck on asking this man why he broke up with me. Like, it was my life goal to know, why the fuck did you leave me? Like, because I felt like we were friends for so long that why would you just up and leave me like that? And then, on top of leaving me, I was talking to this girl. Me and her were cool. I knew her from theater. Not that I was in theater, but I had participated in, like, one show. And from that one show, me and her was like, okay, girl, how you doing? What's your name? What you doing after lunch? What you doing for lunch? Like, we became kind of good friends. This is the girl he goes to go date. I'm like, my nigga, what the fuck is really going on? Like, any girl else, you could date anybody else. Actually, he did date another girl, but that didn't really work out for too long. And this particular girl that he ended up dating, you know, we had this thing at our school called School Day Out. I don't remember the name of it or whatever. Anyway, the whole school would just go to Herman Park in Houston, Texas, and we'd take a day off, and we'd go to the park as a school. Like, go hang out with your friends at the park. And anyway, I think it was just a senior class. No, I don't know. I really do not remember how many goddamn people were there. Anyway, we would go, and since my group of friends and his group of friends are all the same people, I'm forced to be around him and that girl by doing relationship shit. And I'm pissed because I'm like, bitch, like, you never did that shit with me. Like, I was on some shady shit, I will tell you that. I was not necessarily pissed, but I was low-key throwing shade the entire time. She was, you know, doing her own thing, living her la-la-la world. So I really couldn't get mad at her because she was doing what she's supposed to do, which is be a happy girlfriend. But because I was bitter about my own self and bitter about the way it ended or whatever, I didn't want them to have a good time. Well, that day goes on. Then the last day of school comes, and, you know, we do a senior prank. And this guy, being my friend for at this point 2 years, knows that I don't like bugs, knows that I don't like anything slimy, like things like that. Him and that old bitch at this point, I love her so much. By the way, she's an adorable soul. I just called her a bitch because at this moment I feel like he should have told her not to do this, knowing me. But anyway, threw cricket at my black ass. Like, apparently the joke was to let crickets out at the school, and then whoever the custodial faculty was, they would clean it up. That was our senior prank of among putting condoms and underwear all over the place. I didn't understand it, but anyway, crickets were involved, and they threw them at me, and I was just like, huh, Oh, so now you want to be extra petty on top of not answering why you break up with me, on top of, like, talking to the girl that clearly was my friend. You want to throw crickets at me. Okay. Bet it up. You know, I didn't say too much after that. I tried to remain friends with one of our closer mutual friends that we both were close to, but it just, me and her just didn't have that bond, and it just didn't work out. Me and her ended up going to the same school, but even though we were at the same school, I rarely saw her. I talked to her maybe like once or twice, and then kept it moving, because it was just, it wasn't like a real bond. It was just so happened that me, her, and him happened to be really close. Anyway, that's the first story of the first guy. Kind of a short story at this point. If you call me like a year and a half, no, not a year and a half. If you call me like 4 years ago, this just would have been like a 3-day story, because I would have still kind of been in a shady mood, still would have been kind of like, I would have pulled up details that I, at this point, forgot about. You know what I'm saying? But at this point, I don't have recollection of detail like that. So I'll just leave it at that. And that was my first little love. That's the first time I realized I might actually love somebody, because I was stuck on, why the fuck you break up with me? Like, I'm such a good girlfriend. And then after I broke up with you, like, you stupid ass girl, like, Tamicia. I brought the nigga pancakes the next 3 or 4 days later, trying to figure out why he broke up with me. It was just getting embarrassing. It was just like, girl, save your face. You're looking stupid, girl. Grab your face off the ground. And I just couldn't pick it up. So, you know, I ended the school year looking kind of, like, twisted. That was my senior year, so people probably think I'm crazy as fuck. But they don't know I got my shit together. That's the fucked up part. That's the gag right there. They don't know. They don't know. Anyway, that was, for me, and this is the point of reflection. For me, that was a time where I was just really weak, and I don't want to ever go there again, partly because a lot of the weakness stemmed from my own personal issues. Like I said, we'll get to that in another segment. And I just wanted love, and I wanted him to be there for me when I was fucked up and sad, as mad at the world. And I realized, me now knowing the power of energy and the power of being you are what you are around, no, anytime you have somebody like that around you, the best thing you can do is leave them alone and try to see if they can get some help. And the reason I say leave them alone is because you don't know what's stemming that, and you don't want to become a punching bag to their behavior. Not saying I was ever one to, like, blame him for the reason I was sad or anything like that. It was just that I was in a down mood. I mean, I wanted him to be down with me so he could understand where I was coming from. But by asking him to be down, I'm taking away positive energy in his life, which will in turn make him more sad and things like that. And I can understand you not wanting to be around that. So, to Clifford, I am sorry I did you like that. But, hey, that's where I was in my point in life. So, I got over that shit. We bossed up. We drive a Jeep now. Like, everything's going so amazing. You don't understand. Anyway, that was my little point of reflection for that. The next guy I talked to. Oh, my God, Clifford, you're showing up again. Okay, so while I was in college, I can't say I still wasn't a little hung up, because literally the only thing that had passed as far as time was a summer, and I was still kind of hung up on everything. But I got into a relationship my second semester of college. My first semester of college, I spent a lot of time, like, making sure my work was done. I didn't really go out much. I was that student. Like, I was a student. I was not a college student. If you don't want to, if you know the difference, college student includes partying, et cetera, life, fun, happiness, da-da-da-da-da. I was that roommate that was like, hey, girl, you got a test in the morning. You need to be back here at 10, because I don't know how your ass is going to study. I'm already 2 years ahead of your ass, so you need to catch the fuck up. Like, we in this bitch together. Anyway, that first semester, that was how I was. Second semester, I wanted to get out more. My ass joined a church youth group, which is still very healthy. Everybody in some form or fashion should find some spiritual realm to connect to, because I do believe we are not here alone. I do believe, I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not disrespectful to those who don't. And find something to get yourself involved in so that you can stay connected, because the world, the way the world is made, you're going to get thrown off your path. And if you don't have something spiritual to hold on to, you could easily fall in the cracks and become suicidal, become, you know, depressed. Hell, even some batshit crazy because y'all has to believe everything is happening to you because niggas don't like you, when in reality, things are happening to you so that you can grow as a human and grow to be somebody to tell somebody else how to grow in their future endeavors and things like that. But Joyvix Youth Group, and I was seeing this guy, and this guy, he caught my eye. I don't know how he caught my eye, but he did. And me and him, I remember this day like it was maybe a couple weeks ago, not yesterday. Pretty much what happened was, at our little youth group, they would feed us. And, you know, being a college student, anytime free food was involved, I was usually there. Because it's hard, like, if you don't have a job and your mom's only sending you money, and then you get your student refund, that only lasts for so long because you gotta go shopping. Like, anyway. Well, we're at this place, and he's like, hey, you want to make me a plate of food? And I'm like, first thing that read in my mind was nigga, but I had to catch myself because I'm in the Lord's house, so I'm like, I can't say the N-word. But I was like, no, you're fine. You know, anyway, he ends up coming to sit by me at the little table we were sitting at, and we're talking and things like that. But I didn't do anything the first, not necessarily do anything, like trying to have sex with him after a church youth service, but I didn't do anything as far as contacting him that night. Well, I seen him the following night, and then we exchanged numbers, and then we ended up hanging out. And we hung out to the point where, some kind of way, I don't even remember when that nigga asked me out at this point. Like, as I sit and think about this in hindsight, I don't know when this man asked me out. And before I go any further, I want to pause and say, because I'm looking at this ratchet shit right now, there is a dog on a truck bed without the truck bed door. And I was always wondering how I see dead dogs on the freeway. This is how. So, PSA, put a goddamn truck bed door on your truck, A, because you look ratchet. But B, don't put your dog back there. And C, if you still do decide to put your dog back there, put that nigga on a leash. This nigga hit brakes. The dog is, like, trying to use anything in that truck bed as leverage so he don't fly the fuck off. And I'm like, this nigga, what the fuck is really going on? All right, that was my PSA. Back to my story. So, me and this guy, I don't remember him actually asking me out. We just kind of became boyfriend and girlfriend. Went out on a couple of dates with him. Everything was going good. He actually had met my family and everything. And when he met my family, my mom had actually noticed. She was like, hey, like, his walking is a little off. And I was like, oh, well, you know, he said he had hurt himself doing some type of sport injury and blah, 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 blah. Like, I didn't know what was really going on. And my mom was like, well, see if he, go take him to the doctor and see if he has something wrong with him. So I asked him, I was like, hey, why don't you go to the doctor, or have you noticed anything different about your body? And he was like, you know, well, I don't really pay too much attention to it, but, like, my balance sometimes is off, and, you know, sometimes I find my hands shaking and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, well, you need to catch this shit early, because my uncle has multiple sclerosis, and it looks like that's what you have. And I said, God, please don't let that be what he has, but I'd rather he know and get treatment than sit in denial and it get worse. For another segment, my uncle is bedridden with MS, so it kind of hurts my feelings when I see people go through a situation where they can't control. And in this case, I'd rather him catch it so that he can control it as much as possible. Well, I think probably 3 or 4 months down the line of our little lovey-dovey in the newness relationship, we end up going to visit my parents again, and he has what is known in MS as a relapse. And so he wasn't quite diagnosed at this point, but with my mom and I knowing what a relapse looks like, we were like, yeah, there's something definitely wrong. So we had to wheelchair him to the hospital because at this point he could not walk. We took him to St. Luke's Hospital in Sugarland, in which they came to the deliberation that he did have relapse-remitting and multiple sclerosis, meaning, you know, there'll be times where he cannot physically do for himself the way he needs to, but in a span of time and treatment, he will be able to. That's different from what my uncle has. My uncle has the type where once it's gone, it's gone. Like, if you stop walking, there's no possibility that you're going to start walking again. If there's not, you know, by science time. I do believe in faith. I do believe God has a hand in everything. But by the terms of science, they're telling my uncle that once his motor skills in a certain area are gone, they're not going to show back up, kind of like relapse remitting, where if you stop walking one day, there's a possibility in a week or two, your legs might say, oh, I'm good now. I'm just taking a little break, you know? Anyway, I was at the hospital with him for probably a week and a half. I didn't have a job at this point, but I did take off school to make sure that he was good, make sure he was in good spirits as much as possible, because that's kind of since it's no cure for MS, that's a hard diagnosis to take as a person. And when you're getting it, the person next to you, or whoever your counterpart is, male or female, has to be ready for you to basically be tired of their ass. The reason I say that is because there's nothing that I could have told that man to make him, like, feel any better about what the doctor said. Like, I could tell him spiritual quotes. I could tell him, you know, babe, I'm always sit by your side. There wasn't nothing that I could tell that man because he was in his own dump. Like, he was down in the dump. So, there was nothing I could do. But I stayed by his side the entire time. Through this, me and him had grew into a really nice relationship for probably 2 or 3 years. I don't remember the exact count. I think it was 3 years. And probably a year and a half after his diagnosis, he asked me to marry him. And I was just like, yeah, no. Like, you know, like, I'm going to say yeah because I don't want to embarrass you or nothing. But in reality, financially, I don't think we're ready for marriage. If anybody knows me, you'll know that I try to be a responsible adult. I don't like to depend on people. So, marriage for me meaning we both are financially stable enough and in love enough to make a bigger step for our relationship. And I felt like we were in love enough, but love don't pay the bills. Like, you know, any old school person tells you, love don't pay the bills. Bills don't still come. People gonna still be looking to collect payment at the end of the day. And with you just being diagnosed with MS and being disabled by the rules, I don't want to say rules, but by whoever's judgment as far as employment is concerned, you don't really have enough money to fund me in my in being married to me. And it wasn't that you would never have enough money to fund me. It was just at the point in time that we were at, you didn't. So, pretty much what we ended up doing was taking him to DARS, which is a rehabilitation company where they try to find jobs that fit disabled needs people. And they were basically offering him a full ride to Sam Houston State University. But my bae told me that he didn't do amazing in school, so he probably wouldn't get accepted in from just his high school transcripts. So I'm like, look, there's a loophole for that. Just go to community college. They accept anybody. Take you about 12, 16 hours, and then transfer in. I was going to school in Huntsville, Texas, taking him down to the Woodlands every other day so he could go take his classes, only to find out at the end of the semester, not only did he fail, but he failed because he basically didn't try. So that was the first onset of me being upset with him. And I'm going to leave this at part one. because I have to put gas in my car, but definitely will finish up the story. So you guys stay tuned. I promise it's going to be so much worth it. Okay, so finally, now that I've got my podcast up, oh my goodness, it's the start of a new day. Today is July 13th. I'm Tanisha, and I still haven't found out a full name for this podcast, but definitely in the works for one. I just feel like I have so much on my heart that I sound like a whole Bible Christian right now. On my heart, no. But I feel like I have so much going on that sometimes I don't have people to talk to on the phone. I'm like, why not become your own best friend? So that's the whole point of this podcast, because I commute to work every day. My commute is usually 2 hours going to Huntsville and 2 hours coming back from Huntsville if traffic's okay. If traffic's horrible, then usually it's not 2 hours. Maybe 2.5 to 3, but neither here or there. To be honest, though, I had a customer put something in perspective for me I wasn't really expecting. She says, oh my goodness, you spend half your work day in your car. And I'm just like, well, damn, you didn't have to just ruin dreams for me. Here I am thinking, oh, it's just 2 hours here, 2 hours there. I never put two and two together that, oh, shit, I do spend 4 hours of my 8-hour shift that I do at work in my car. Anyway, my podcast is not going to be boring. It's not for nobody if you don't like the F word, it's going to be thrown around a lot. I haven't thrown it around, so prepare yourself. This is where you choose to leave. Please exit stage left, because it's about to fucking go down. Okay, so first thing, today's topic I'm going to choose for myself right now. Obviously, it's going to be guys, because guys are just a complex, they're just some complex creatures. I don't understand them. I feel like no one gave them the memo to be good at relationships. At least this generation's guys, they don't have that, like, relationship goals or anything like that. They're pretty much set on, like, is my dick wet? Yes or no? If no is the answer, then fuck you. So I'm just kind of taking it slow in my own right, which includes having a rotation. Okay, so what is a rotation? A rotation is a group of guys that I dedicate myself to. Like, as if I was in a polygamous relationship, that I have sexual things with every now and again. It's not something that, like, every day, one guy gets me on Monday, the next guy gets me on Tuesday. Like, my pussy would be completely kaputted. Like, live what this. It would just be fucking sad shit. But that's not goals here. So whenever I'm in a mood, I just pick a flavor. Because I feel like guys do the same thing to us. As women, they choose who they want to have sex with and who they want to be around whenever they see fit. So I'm tired of feeling like I'm doing everything that I need to do as a woman to gain a guy's attention, only for them to disregard everything that I'm doing and then choose someone else that they want to have or hang out with. Not necessarily all about sex. Have sex with or hang out with. And for me, I feel like if they can do it without right and judgment, I can do it without right and judgment. As long as we all are protected and we stay safe and we are all, like, in agreement, which I don't know if they're in agreement. I've never told them about the other one. It'll be funny when they find out. Who gives a fuck? Like, same reaction guys have. Like, if the girls find out about each other, who gives a fuck? They're going to go find a new rotation. Whatever. So the first guy I'm going to start off with is the first guy I've ever had feelings for. Okay, this is going to be a hard one because I've never dove back into this topic for a while. Actually, really, since my first year of college, I haven't really thought about this guy too much. But he really played a big part in how I see guys. And he doesn't know it. And if this ever gets out, he'll know it. But who cares, like I said. Anyway, fuck it. His name's Clifford. Goddamn. I'm going to change his name for the sake of embarrassment, but, I mean, who the fuck cares? And for me, liking somebody that had that name, I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. When I look back in hindsight, I'm just like, did you like somebody named Clifford? What the fuck? Like, who the fuck was, what was you on? And I was like, shit. So I don't know what I was on, but I was definitely on that nigga. So anyway, nigga was not really attractive. I don't know what the fuck. I was just sprung over this guy's personality. Me and him had meshed so well. So the reason we met, I had just transferred schools from high school. I was going to High Tower High School, and then I felt like that schooling was really stupid. So I went to a school called Challenger Early College, and let me just say that was one of the best decisions I made in my young life because it allowed me to get my associate's degree and my high school diploma at the same time. When I first got there, I met a group of friends. Apparently, I had a very snooty face. Snooty meaning like bougie, meaning like uppity, meaning like don't fuck with me, bitch. Which I like to think that I'm a really approachable person, so I didn't see how I gave people that impression. But anyway, I had made a group of friends, girls and guys. I was also on the quote-unquote cheerleading team. We'll talk about that later. We'll leave that for another segment. And I don't know why. This guy's energy just immediately drew me in. And I was just so, like, I want to be his friend. Like, we were definitely friend goals. That's definitely friend goals for future, for everything. Because me and him had such a, like, natural friendship. We had, like, an organic wanting to be around each other, not for the sake of anyone else or anything like that. It was just like, hey, what you doing? I don't care if you're in the bathroom, nigga. What the fuck are you doing? And it was kind of cute. It was, I don't know. I could say it was a crush, but it wasn't a crush. It was still healthy at this point. But anyway, we had talked for about a year and a half. Well, the reason, I guess, I felt so strongly about this guy is because before this guy, I hadn't really had too much relationship experience. I thought of guys as annoying little beings. Like, you know, that six or seven-year-old idea that, ew, guys are nasty. I still kind of had that going into high school. And so, not necessarily that they're gross, but that they're just a waste of time. They're a distraction. Don't do that. So this is the first guy that I just kind of let distract me from. And it wasn't necessarily a bad distraction, but let take me away from other hobbies I would have done in my time if I did not know him. Right? So, we're getting to know each other. I figure out he likes rap music that, at the time, I was crazy. So, I was into rap music, but I wasn't into, like, the good shit. Let's just be honest. I liked a little bit of Kid Cudi, a little bit of Wale, like, a little bit of backpack rap. But I was mostly a pop fan. Like, you could not miss me with any pop song. I don't care from. And I say pop, I mean mainstream music, not necessarily like Baby Rexha or crazy super pop artists. Just anything that came on the radio, I was definitely here for. But then I didn't know that there were things that didn't come on the radio that were just as good. I thought if it didn't make the radio, it really was shit. He turned me on to that. Like, you know, different artists. Let's see. Who did I learn from him? Oh my goodness. I cannot. Oh, goodness. Okay, first of all, it was Tyler, the Creator. I was not a Tyler fan. You can check my records. I was not. I was just there because he was there, and he was happy, which made me happy. And then eventually, I realized, oh, crap, I do like this music. Who else? Mick Jenkins. I did not like Mick Jenkins. Never heard of him. Never cared. Oh, my gosh. This one guy I cannot think of, and I know this is a really big artist in Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. What is his name? Whatever. I will have to, like, tag it in the bottom or something whenever I remember because I have the memory of a squirrel. But anything this guy likes, I like, long story short. So maybe a year into us knowing each other, he decided to ask me out, which I told him no because I didn't want anything to change. Like, I was like, you're my bestest friend, and I like you enough to tell you that I would prefer to not go that route with you because I don't want us to be affected as a friendship. Well, anyway, he asked me out again, and I said yes because at this point, I'm like, Tamecia, this person likes you. You clearly like their company. What other reason are you saying no? Like, you're not a shallow person to be completely stuck on looks, because I like my men manly. Like, I want you to look like a man. I don't want you to be prettier than me. I want you to look like you work for a living or something of that sort. Not necessarily do your nails and facials for a living. Anyway, I had got completely sidetracked. So, told him yes. We went out, girl, for a whole, like, 2 weeks. Like, this was the pettiest relationship I've ever been in. But some kind of way, this relationship, in the midst of me already having my own problems, which I will also divulge in another segment about how I was depressed, and this is probably the reason why I didn't work out, was because I was not always in the best of moods when I said yes the second time. So I can't expect him to want to be around somebody who didn't want to be around himself. But anyway, this relationship lasted for all of like 2 weeks, in my opinion. And in that 2 or 3 weeks, we had so much like random, I don't want to say it was fun. I feel like the relationship did exactly what I expected it to do. Like, it complicated things. I was expecting certain behaviors because of what I've seen on media from what a boyfriend's supposed to do, which, I mean, that's true, but everybody is its own person, so you can't expect, you know, one person to show affection the same way another person does. And when that went kaput, and on top of me being in a very, very bad mental state as far as, like, self-love and things like that, I was just kind of stuck on him. And I felt like he was part of the reason why I was upset and this, that, and the third. And so I was stuck on asking this man why he broke up with me. Like, it was my life goal to know, why the fuck did you leave me? Like, because I felt like we were friends for so long that why would you just up and leave me like that? And then on top of leaving me, I was talking to this girl. Me and her were cool. I knew her from theater. Not that I was in theater, but I had participated in, like, one show. And from that one show, me and her was like, okay, girl, how you doing? What's your name? What you doing after lunch? What you doing for lunch? Like, we became kind of good friends. This is the girl he goes to go date. I'm like, my nigga, what the fuck is really going on? Like, any girl else, you could date anybody else. Actually, he did date another girl, but that didn't really work out for too long. And this particular girl that he ended up dating, you know, we had this thing at our school called School Day Out. I don't remember the name of it or whatever. Anyway, the whole school would just go to Herman Park in Houston, Texas, and we'd take a day off, and we'd go to the park as a school. Like, go hang out with your friends at the park. And anyway, I think it was just a senior class. No, I don't know. I really do not remember how many goddamn people were there. Anyway, we would go. And since my group of friends and his group of friends are all the same people, I'm forced to be around him and that girl, like, doing relationship shit. And I'm pissed because I'm like, bitch, like, you never did that shit with me. Like, I was on some shady shit, I will tell you that. I was not necessarily pissed, but I was low-key throwing shade the entire time. She was, you know, doing her own thing, living her la-la-la world. So I really couldn't get mad at her because she was doing what she's supposed to do, which is be a happy girlfriend. But because I was bitter about my own self and bitter about the way it ended or whatever, I didn't want them to have a good time. Well, that day goes on. Then the last day of school comes, and, you know, we do a senior prank. And this guy, being my friend for at this point 2 years, knows that I don't like bugs, knows that I don't like anything slimy, like things like that. Him and that old bitch at this point, I love her so much. By the way, she's an adorable soul. I just called her a bitch because at this moment I feel like he should have told her not to do this, knowing me. But anyway, threw cricket at my black ass. Like, apparently the joke was to let crickets out at the school, and then whoever the custodial faculty was, they would clean it up. That was our senior prank, among putting condoms and underwear all over the place. I didn't understand it, but anyway, crickets were involved, and they threw them at me, and I was just like, huh. Oh, so now you want to be extra petty on top of not answering why you break up with me, on top of, like, talking to the girl that clearly was my friend. You want to throw crickets at me. Okay. Met it up. You know, I didn't say too much after that. I tried to remain friends with one of our closer mutual friends that we both were close to, but it just, me and her just didn't have that bond, and it just didn't work out. Me and her ended up going to the same school, but even though we were at the same school, I rarely saw her. I talked to her maybe like once or twice, and then kept it moving, because it was just, it wasn't like a real bond. It was just so happened that me, her, and him happened to be really close. Anyway, that's the first story of the first guy. Kind of a short story at this point. If you call me like a year and a half, no, not a year and a half. If you call me like 4 years ago, this just would have been like a 3-day story, because I would have still kind of been in a shady mood, still would have been kind of like, I would have pulled up details that I, at this point, forgot about. You know what I'm saying? But at this point, I don't have recollection of detail like that. So I'll just leave it at that. And that was my first little love. That's the first time I realized I might actually love somebody, because I was stuck on, why the fuck you break up with me? Like, I'm such a good girlfriend. And then after I broke up with you, like, you stupid ass girl, like, Tamisha, I brought the nigga pancakes the next 3 or 4 days later, trying to figure out why he broke up with me. It was just getting embarrassing. It was just like, girl, save your face. You're looking stupid, girl. Grab your face off the ground. And I just couldn't pick it up. So, you know, I ended the school year looking kind of, like, twisted. That was my senior year, so people probably think I'm crazy as fuck. But they don't know I got my shit together. That's the fucked up part. That's the gag right there. They don't know. They don't know. Anyway, that was, for me, and this is the point of reflection. For me, that was a time where I was just really weak, and I don't want to ever go there again, partly because a lot of the weakness stemmed from my own personal issues. Like I said, we'll get to that in another segment. And I just wanted love, and I wanted him to be there for me when I was fucked up and sad and mad at the world. And I realized, me now knowing the power of energy and the power of being a, you are what you are around. No, anytime you have somebody like that around you, the best thing you can do is leave them alone and try to see if they can get some help. And the reason I say leave them alone is because you don't know what's stemming that, and you don't want to become a punching bag to their behavior. Not saying I was ever one to, like, blame him for the reason I was sad or anything like that. It was just that I was in a down mood. I mean, I wanted him to be down with me so he could understand where I was coming from. But by asking him to be down, I'm taking away positive energy in his life, which will in turn make him more sad and things like that. And I can understand you not wanting to be around that. So, to Clifford, I am sorry I did you like that. But, hey, that's where I was in my point in life. So, I got over that shit. We bossed up. We drive a Jeep now. Like, everything's going so amazing. You don't understand. Anyway, that was my little point of reflection for that. The next guy I talked to. Oh, my God, Clifford, you're showing up again. Okay. So, while I was in college, I can't say I still wasn't a little hung up, because literally the only thing that had passed as far as time was the summer. And I was still kind of hung up on everything. But I got into a relationship my second semester of college. My first semester of college, I spent a lot of time, like, making sure my work was done. I didn't really go out much. I was that student. Like, I was a student. I was not a college student. If you don't want to, if you know the difference, college student includes partying, et cetera, life, fun, happiness, da-da-da-da-da. I was that roommate that was like, hey, girl, you got a test in the morning. You need to be back here at 10, because I don't know how your ass is going to study. I'm already 2 years ahead of your ass, so you need to catch the fuck up. Like, we in this bitch together. Anyway, that first semester, that was how I was. Second semester, I wanted to get out more. My ass joined a youth church youth group, which is still very healthy. Everybody, in some form or fashion, should find some spiritual realm to connect to, because I do believe we are not here alone. I do believe, I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not disrespectful to those who don't. And find something to get yourself involved in so that you can stay connected, because the world, the way the world is made, you're going to get thrown off your path. And if you don't have something spiritual to hold on to, you could easily fall in the cracks and become suicidal, become, you know, depressed. Hell, even some batshit crazy, because y'all have to believe everything is happening to you because niggas don't like you, when in reality, things are happening to you so that you can grow as a human and grow to be somebody to tell somebody else how to grow in their future, in their future endeavors and things like that. But Joybook's youth group, and I was seeing this guy, and this guy, he caught my eye. I don't know how he caught my eye, but he did. And me and him, I remember the day after, it was maybe a couple weeks ago, not yesterday. Pretty much what happened was, at our little youth group, they would feed us. And, you know, being a college student, anytime free food was involved, I was usually there. Because it's hard, like, if you don't have a job and your mom's only sending you money, and then you get your student refund, that only lasts for so long because you got to go shopping. Like, anyway. Well, we're at this place, and he's like, hey, you want to make me a plate of food? And I'm like, first thing that read in my mind was nigga. But I had to catch myself because I'm in the Lord's house, so I'm like, I can't say the N-word. But I was like, no, you're fine. You know, anyway, he ends up coming to sit by me at the little table we were sitting at. And we're talking and things like that. But I didn't do anything the first, not necessarily do anything, like trying to have sex with him after a church youth service. But I didn't do anything as far as contacting him that night. Well, I seen him the following night, and then we exchanged numbers, and then we ended up hanging out. And we hung out to the point where, some kind of way, I don't even remember when that nigga asked me out at this point. Like, as I sit and think about this in hindsight, I don't know when this man asked me out. And before I go any further, I want to pause and say, because I'm looking at this ratchet shit right now. There is a dog on a truck bed without the truck bed door. And I was always wondering how I see dead dogs on the freeway. This is how. So, PSA, put a goddamn truck bed door on your truck, A, because you look ratchet. But B, don't put your dog back there. And C, if you still do decide to put your dog back there, put that nigga on a leash. This nigga hit brakes. The dog is, like, trying to use anything in that truck bed as leverage so he don't fly the fuck off. And I'm like, this nigga, what the fuck is really going on? All right, that was my PSA. Back to my story. So, me and this guy, I don't remember him actually asking me out. We just kind of became boyfriend and girlfriend. Went out on a couple of dates with him. Everything was going good. He actually had met my family and everything. And, when he met my family, my mom had actually noticed. She was like, hey, like, his walking is a little off. And I was like, oh, well, you know, he said he had hurt himself doing some type of sport injury and blah, 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 blah. Like, I didn't know what was really going on. And my mom was like, well, see if he, go take him to the doctor and see if he has something wrong with him. So I asked him, I was like, hey, why don't you go to the doctor, or have you noticed anything different about your body? And he was like, you know, well, I don't really pay too much attention to it, but, like, my balance sometimes is off, and, you know, sometimes I find my hands shaking and this, that, and the third, and I'm like, well, you need to catch this shit early, because my uncle has multiple sclerosis, and it looks like that's what you have. And I said, God, please don't let that be what he has, but I'd rather he know and get treatment than sit in denial and it get worse. For another segment, my uncle is bedridden with MS, so it kind of hurts my feelings when I see people go through a situation where they can't control, and in this case, I'd rather him catch it so that he can control it as much as possible. Well, I think probably 3 or 4 months down the line of our little lovey-dovey in the newness relationship, we end up going to visit my parents again, and he has what is known in MS as a relapse. And so he wasn't quite diagnosed at this point, but with my mom and I knowing what a relapse looks like, we were like, yeah, there's something definitely wrong. So we had to wheelchair him to the hospital because at this point he could not walk. We took him to St. Luke's Hospital in Sugarland, in which they came to the deliberation that he did have relapse-remitting and multiple sclerosis, meaning, you know, there'll be times where he cannot physically do for himself the way he needs to, but in a span of time and treatment, he will be able to. That's different from what my uncle has. My uncle has the type where once it's gone, it's gone. Like, if you stop walking, there's no possibility that you're going to start walking again. If there's not, you know, by science time. I do believe in faith. I do believe God has a hand in everything. But by the terms of science, they're telling my uncle that once his motor skills in a certain area are gone, they're not going to show back up, kind of like relapse remitting, where if you stop walking one day, there's a possibility in a week or 2 years, your legs might say, oh, I'm good now. I'm just taking a little break, you know? Anyway, I was at the hospital with him for probably a week and a half. I didn't have a job at this point, but I did take off school to make sure that he was good, make sure he was in good spirits as much as possible, because that's kind of since it's no cure for MS, that's a hard diagnosis to take as a person. And when you're getting it, the person next to you or whoever your counterpart is, male or female, has to be ready for you to basically be tired of their ass. The reason I say that is because there's nothing that I could have told that man to make him, like, feel any better about what the doctor said. Like, I could tell him spiritual quotes. I could tell him, you know, babe, I'm always by your side. There wasn't nothing that I could tell that man because he was in his own dump. Like, he was down in the dump. So there was nothing I could do. But I stayed by his side the entire time. Through this, me and him had grew into a really nice relationship for probably 2 or 3 years. I don't remember the exact count. I think it was 3 years. And probably a year and a half after his diagnosis, he asked me to marry him. And I was just like, yeah, no. Like, you know, like, I'm going to say yeah because I don't want to embarrass you or nothing. But in reality, I don't think we're ready for marriage. If anybody knows me, you'll know that I try to be a responsible adult. I don't like to depend on people. So, marriage for me meaning we both are financially stable enough and in love enough to make a bigger step for our relationship. And I felt like we were in love enough, but love don't pay the bills. Like, you know, any old school person tells you, love don't pay the bills. Bills don't still come. People gonna still be looking to collect payment at the end of the day. And with you just being diagnosed with MS and being disabled by the rules, I don't want to say rules, but by whoever's judgment as far as employment is concerned, you don't really have enough money to fund me in my in being married to me. And it wasn't that you would never have enough money to fund me. It was just at the point in time that we were at, you didn't. So, pretty much what we ended up doing was taking him to DARS, which is a rehabilitation company where they try to find jobs that fit disabled needs people. And they were basically offering him a full ride to Sam Houston State University. But my bae told me that he didn't do amazing in school, so he probably wouldn't get accepted in from just his high school transcripts. So I'm like, look, there's a loophole for that. Just go to community college. They accept anybody. Take you about 12, 16 hours, and then transfer in. I was going to school in Huntsville, Texas, taking him down to the Woodlands every other day so he could go take his classes, only to find out at the end of the semester, not only did he fail, but he failed because he basically didn't try. So that was the first onset of me being upset with him. And I'm going to leave this at part one because I have to put gas in my car, but definitely will finish up the story. So you guys stay tuned. I promise it's going to be so much worth it.